This morning I'm preaching from Joshua 7, and I'm preaching on Achan, a particular character there, the problem of sin and your need for Christ, my need for Christ and his grace. Now, in Joshua 7, we find an account of this man, Achan. And the context is after Israel was in the desert for 40 years because of a problem. The problem is sin. And they refused to enter God's promised land in lack of faith. But God allowed the next generation to enter into the land. And though not sinless, because everyone has the problem of sin, they had faith to go forward. And Joshua had been leading them since Moses died. The covenant of Moses is their law. And so they enter the promised land, and they had the law with them as their possession. We know it as the Old Covenant. Now, we're in a different covenant now. We're in the new covenant in Christ Jesus. Now, ever since the first man, Adam, down through those Old Covenant people, the new covenant in Christ has finally come as the ultimate saving grace everyone looked forward to, and it takes care of the problem of sin. Now, because of the new covenant, you are guaranteed to enter the promised heavenly land forever and ever by grace through faith. But they were under a covenant of works. And in respect to entering the promised land, back at the giving of the law of the covenant to Moses in Exodus 23, it's considered part of the law. God told them, God specifically spoke to Moses, and he said this, "I am going to send an angel before you to guard you and bring you into a place I have prepared. Be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not forgive your transgression, since my name is in him." So, God promised, as we understand, and this is an incarnation of God, it's called a theophany, he promised to send himself in human form as an angel to guard the Israelites and bring them to the place he prepared. And then God said, and I'm going to continue reading, "If you truly obey his voice, do all I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries, for my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." So in the Mosaic law, obedience result would be in all the blessings that God listed, including conquering people like the Amorites. But rebellion and sin would result in not being forgiven for their transgression. And that promise was active when Joshua and the Israelites entered into the promised land. And that angel actually showed up to Joshua like God told Moses he would do. He had on battle gear and a sword in his hand. And he said, "I've come as the captain of God's army." And he told Joshua, "Take off his sandals because he's on holy ground." Now, this is God incarnate, and he came in the future from this time, at this time that we're reading, as Jesus, same person, comes in battle gear at this time, comes as the sacrificial lamb in the coming years, and we're going to get into that, but he also is going to come in battle gear again. Now, God told Joshua that no man will be able to stand against Joshua, and God said, "I will never fail you or forsake you." He said, "You will give this people possession of the land which I swore to the fathers to give them." And then God said this, "Be careful to do according to all the covenant law which Moses, my servant, commanded you so that you will have success wherever you go." So like that first promise to Moses, this one to Joshua had the assurance of blessing. And like that first promise to Moses, there was a warning. It's a warning of achieving success by the works of obedience. And when Israel entered to the promised land, all those promises were playing out. And one of the first things Israel did was defeat Jericho according to the promise God made to Moses in the law, and the one that God also made to Joshua. The angel went before them, guarded their way, they obeyed his voice, they did the will of God, they did what he said, and God was an enemy to their enemies, an adversary to their adversaries. They were being careful to do according to all the covenant law, and so they had great, great, great success. Now, when we look at the victory at Jericho, remember they marched around Jericho, the walls came down, preached about this last week. Well, directly before the Israelites entered into the city, before the walls came down, Joshua told everyone there was a ban on taking things from that city. He said the city and everything in it belongs to the Lord, not you, the Lord. And they were told not to covet any of it, take anything. And he said so that Israel will not be cursed with trouble. All the silver, the gold, the bronze, all the items were for the Lord, and they were to be taken into the treasury of the Lord. Well, their victory at Jericho was very amazing, and God told them he had rolled away the reproach of Egypt from them that had been over a generation before. And now with that reproach rolled away, Israel was on a roll. After Jericho, they were pumped up. They were in ambition and faith. They're going to take the rest of what God said was theirs. And so their next target was the city of Ai, a city of Amorite people. Do you remember the Amorites? Well, I'll remind you of the promise to Moses that I just read. I read it earlier. It's from Exodus 23, the Amorites. The angel will be there before them to guard them and bring them into the place God prepared. They need to obey and not be rebellious because he will not forgive them. But obey him and all God says, and God will be an enemy to their enemies and an adversary to their adversaries, bringing them to the land of the Amorites. Well, there it is. Has the promise of conquering the Amorites. So Israel's ready to roll over the Amorites. Joshua sent spies like he did to Jericho. Went out to Ai, they looked, they got back, they told Joshua, there's only a few people at Ai. We only need about, 2,000 or 3,000 warriors to conquer it. And so with God on their side, their faith assured them that they're going to go forward and they're going to go into a swift and complete defeat of the Amorite city of Ai. About 3,000 men went to Ai. And when they got to the gate, something weird happened, very unexpected. They went from direct attack to becoming overcome and running back in full retreat. The men of Ai chased them and they killed 36 Israelites. The Israelites were shocked and they were distraught. It was a completely unexpected defeat. And Joshua and the elders of Israel, they just laid before the Ark of the Covenant, laid on the ground in despair. They were mourning. They were praying and praying. Joshua asked God, why did you bring us, into this land out of the desert just to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? Very confusing. He asked God, what are you going to do for your great name now? Because none of it made sense. But at the beginning of Joshua 7, the problem was identified. It's part of the theme of this sermon. It's a problem that we all know intimately, and it is the problem of sin. It says that the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the ban to not covet and take certain things from themselves from Jericho. It was one man who did it, Achan. Achan took some of the things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. Often, Israel as a nation was treated by God like it was one person. And so Achan from the tribe of Judah sinned and he took the banned items. But God saw it as the sons of Israel being unfaithful because God's promise applied to everyone. And so there it is, that problem. And it caused problems for Israel. It's a problem of sin. And it truly is everyone's biggest problem. Sin is your problem. Sin has consequences. Sin always brings trouble. Sin brings trouble to you, brings trouble to others. We see the troubling consequences of what happened. Once Israelite had done this, this one particular person, once he had done this, it affected everyone. All of Israel experienced the consequences. So Joshua, he's laying there, he's praying, confused, very sad, weeping. 36 men died. People. And then God said to him in chapter 7, verse 11, Israel has sinned. God said, they transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. They took things under the ban. They have been deceptive. And he said, so therefore the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They have become accursed. And then God said, pointing back to those prophetic promises, remember the one to Moses and the recent one to Joshua? He said, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Israel will be defeated until they remove the things taken. The consequences of sin in Exodus 23 became realized. But now God offered something else. Grace. Grace for the rest of Israel. Grace with the remedy. The one who disobeyed is the one who will not be forgiven. That's the one. And so God had all the families come before Joshua to reveal the thief. And God said that because he transgressed the covenant and did a disgraceful thing in Israel, the punishment for the sin is that he must be burned to death. Everything else that belongs to him must also be burned. So all the tribes went before Joshua. The tribe of Judah was brought. Achan's family was of the tribe of Judah, and they were brought before Joshua. And Joshua said to Achan, and that's, I want you to listen to this. Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell me what you have done. Don't hide it from me." Now remember, this sermon is called Achan, the problem of sin and your need for Christ. And Achan gave glory to the Lord. Achan gave praise to God. And Achan told Joshua the problem. He confessed. He said, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel." Those three words are the issue. I have sinned. And that describes all of us. And the scripture says we all sin, we all have sinned, we do sin, and so we all fall short of the glory of God. And when you sin, you know what Achan knew. I have sinned. And for those who are without Christ, sin is a deadly, damning, dooming problem. But 1 John 1, 7-10 says, "The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself, and the truth is not in you," it says. You're not saved. But if you confess your sins, God's faithful and righteous to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, which is all sins, because the blood of Jesus, his son, really does cleanse you from all sin. And this forgiveness and cleansing is what you have in Christ by grace through faith. But Achan was under the old covenant. So Achan confessed, and he explained, "When I saw a beautiful robe from Shinar," which is southern Babylon, "and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, I coveted them." First thing God said, don't do. "And I took them." God said, don't do that. And then also God said, don't be deceptive. Three things. He did all of them. Now, and coveting is sin. Apostle Paul said that when the command came to not covet in the Mosaic law, that sin was awakened in the Israelites, and coveting of every kind came forth in abundance. Paul said, where the law was, sin increased. Well, those Israelites were under that law. Coveting is to simply want what belongs to someone else, and Paul said that coveting of every kind was awakened, no matter how small, how insignificant you might think it is, any coveting is sin to God, which means it's sin when you do it. Achan coveted. Achan also took the items for himself, and he was also deceitful. He hid them. Next, Achan told Joshua where he hid the items. And some men went off, and they dug them up, found them in his tent, under the tent, in the ground. And so there's all those troubling consequences for Achan's sin. The Lord was not with the Israelites in battle. Achan had cursed Israel. 36 men died because of Achan. Now there's that beautiful confession to the Lord from Achan. Amazing. But there were troubling consequences for Achan. And yes, Achan did give glory to God like Joshua told him to do. Achan gave praise to him like Joshua told him to do. He wanted to do. He confessed, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord," but there was no grace, no mercy, no pardon. Why? Because he existed falling short of the glory of God. He needed the grace of an advocate, the grace of a sacrifice, the grace of the Savior. And according to that Mosaic covenant, sacrifices were offered to cover sins, to atone for sins. Well, what about those, right? You know, maybe there was this doorway out for him. Well, there was no sacrifice offered up for Achan as an atonement. And that was not unusual, you see, because the law also required the death penalty for certain sins, like rape, adultery, homosexuality, incest, murder, a rebellious child, kidnapping, and idolatry. The payment for those sins was the death of the sinner who did them. The transgressors were judged and executed. And now with Achan, we remember that in the law at Exodus 23:20-23, God said they were supposed to obey the voice of the angel leading them through the promised land. And remember what God said? If they were rebellious toward him, toward my voice, he will not forgive the transgression. I mean, he made a promise. And the generation before was not forgiven by God either. They were not allowed to enter the promised land. They died in the desert because of the rebellion to the voice of God. And Achan shows the horrible problem of sin. He should have obeyed. But that's part of the problem, right? Not obeying. Anytime you sin, anytime I sin, we're just not obeying. And sin is doing what God says you should not do. Sin is not doing what God says to do. Well, Achan needed Christ Jesus to be an advocate to fix the whole problem, to be his great sacrifice of ultimate love. He needed Jesus to step in and be the death penalty in his place. He needed Jesus' resurrection life. And in your covenant with Jesus, God says, though you might be rebellious toward me in sin, I will forgive your transgression in my son Jesus. In fact, I do. 1 John 2, 1 through 2 says this, that if any Christian sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins. But in respect to sin, while forgiven, you can still experience trouble from it. Sin always causes problems. We experience the fruits of the seeds of sin that we sow. God even chastises us and molds us to learn lessons from those consequences. But with us who are in Christ, he does not condemn us for it. Achan, though, was under a different covenant with different stipulations. And so Joshua and all Israel, they took Achan, the silver, the robe, the bar of gold, all of his ox and his donkeys and his sheep, his tent, everything that belonged to him, and they brought him up to a valley. And Achan was about to be executed for his sin. Reflecting on the ban he heard before entering Jericho, Joshua's original words were a haunting and indicting memory for Achan. Don't covet anything in Jericho. Don't take any of the things in it so that the camp of Israel will not be cursed with trouble. With trouble. And now Joshua looked at Achan and he said to him, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. And because of Achan's trouble, remember, 36 Israelites killed. They should have been alive. Victors over the city of Ai. How many of those guys had families? You know, his sin kept back the blessing of God. The only words Achan got were, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. But Achan and his animals, they're not the only ones that experienced ultimate trouble for this sin. Achan's sons and daughters also experienced it. The Mosaic Law in Deuteronomy 24:16 says the sons cannot be put to death for their father's sin, only for their own sin. Well, this shows that Achan's sons and daughters were eager and willing accomplices in the sin of thievery and deception. They were guilty of sinning the same sins. Now, Achan's wife is never mentioned. Achan was probably a widower. Nevertheless, now the troubling consequence. The Israelites stoned the whole family of Achan to death with rocks. And then they burned their bodies with fire. And after they were killed, it says that the Lord turned the fierceness of his anger. Achan and his family became their own sacrifices for their sins. Not as atonement, propitiation, big fancy theology word. You can think of it as absorbing the wrath as the payment for sin to bring the forgiveness. No, not as redemption in grace and forgiveness. No, but as troubling punishment. You see, the wage of sin is death. And what we're seeing is the bleak picture of being in covenant with God and yet being in a covenant of works. Achan was in covenant with God. God is holy. He's pure, purely righteous. People are sinful, prone to sin and the inheritance of the sin nature of Adam and Eve. And all sin, your sins are far-reaching, hurts you, hurts others. In the old covenant, Achan shows us that confession was not enough to merit God's grace. Nothing anyone can do merits the grace of God. Worshiping, praising him. Remember? That's what he did. Mankind had to wait for the redemptive fulfillment in Christ in the new covenant. The wages of sin is death, but spiritual death for everyone who is without Christ Jesus. The problem of sin is why you need Jesus and I need Jesus. Everyone. And yet God has always been loving. He's always been all the things that we're seeing here. And he's always had a saving plan in store. Sin his only begotten son to pay the penalty of sin for sin. His own death. He delivered himself up as a sacrifice for sin. He came. Jesus came willingly. He chose to purchase you with his death. And you know that you're his property because you believe in him. That's how you know. That's the proof that you're saved. You say, well, how do I know I'm saved? I can't do everything right. Well, of course you can't do everything right. He does in you. And so here's the thing. Faith. You believe you're saved, you are, because you believe in the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. You're reconciled to God. You are saved by his grace through faith. Very easy to understand. And you're recreated in him to always exist, listen, as forgiven. To always exist with his miraculous resurrection life in you. The covenant you are in is also everlasting. Hebrews 5:9 says, you get everlasting salvation. Hebrews 9:12 says, you have everlasting redemption. Hebrews 9:15 says, you will receive the everlasting inheritance. And Hebrews 13:20 calls it the everlasting covenant. And today, in the everlasting covenant of Jesus, of Christ, if someone sins like Achan and his family, they can know they're forgiven by faith in him and his work, saved by grace. Well, after Achan and his family were stoned and burned, the Israelites all got stones and they piled them up over the burnt bones and the ashes as a reminder monument to Israel of the sin and its consequences. It says, therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Do you know what Achor means? It means trouble. Sin is trouble. But God always has a prophetic hope. He's always had it. In the book of Hosea in 2:12-18, sinful Israel was being referred to. And it's a prophecy in Hosea 2 of the new covenant that God promised would come someday in Christ, our covenant by faith, grace through faith. God said in Hosea 2:12-18, I will allure Israel and speak kindly to her, and I will give her vineyards and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. God turned the trouble into a door of hope in the new covenant that we have in Christ. He said, in that day I will make a covenant for them, and I will make them lie down in safety. That's salvation. So in the ultimate grace, God turned the valley of trouble into the door of hope through Jesus. Jesus is the way. He experienced the trouble for your sins so that you would be forgiven. He did it willingly in his love. Pardon was not possible for Achan. But today, pardon is sure through the trouble that Jesus experienced for you and his blessing and his being rejected and his being crucified to make you perfect in him. In other words, you have perfection, but it's his perfection. So he sees you as perfect even though you do imperfect things, you think imperfect things, you covet, you take a gold bar when you shouldn't. God doesn't say it's okay to do those things, but he sees Jesus in you because Jesus is the door of hope for salvation. The book of Hebrews also says that through Christ Jesus, the future redemption into perfection that all those Israelites needed back then, the future perfection that they needed that they didn't have, that Achan needed, hey, they ultimately got it. That's what Hebrew lays out for us. Now listen to it. It's in Hebrews 7:11, 19, and 22. It indicates that perfection was not attainable for these people in covenant with God in the past. That the law of Moses made nothing perfect, but that a better hope in Christ, and I'm reading from Hebrews 7:11, 19, and 22. It says, but that a better hope in Christ has been brought, through which we draw near to God, that Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant than what they had. Better. And Hebrews 8:6 says, Christ Jesus' ministry is much more excellent than the old covenant ministry because he is the mediator, again, of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. Achan didn't have that at the time, but it does apply to him, and that's what I'm telling you, because Hebrews 7-10 lays this out, and on through 12. Hebrews 10:1-14 says, the law of Moses was only a shadow of the good things to come in Christ's covenant, because that old covenant could not make anyone perfect. That's what it says. It couldn't. Couldn't make Achan perfect. But that by Jesus' offering, he has perfected for all time those who are set apart by him in him. That's the perfection. It's all him. It's all him. He is your perfection that makes you perfect. And now all God's covenant people of the past have it too. Hebrews 11:39 explains that all the Old Testament people of God did not receive what was promised in their own lifetimes. The promise is what I'm talking about, the perfection. That's what it's saying. Even all their righteous deeds, because God always plans something better, the writer of Hebrews says. Well, we're talking about it. It's the new covenant in Christ. And it says he provided it in Christ and his new covenant. And it says that God provided it so that all the people of God in the past, under the old covenants, Abrahamic, the Mosaic, would be made perfect together with us in Christ Jesus' work. That's what takes care of the need. The salvation of Christ goes back to all his people of faith. Listen, even Achan, who confessed and worship God as a righteous deed before being executed for his unrighteous deed. Those old covenant people of faith are the spirits, it says in the scripture in Hebrews, of the righteous who have now been made perfect in Christ. It's all there in Hebrews. And this is the lesson of Achan, the problem of sin and your need, my need for Christ. God, now here, listen to me. God is always the same. See, that's why this is so important. Sin is always the trouble. The Lord incarnated as a mighty warrior implementing wrath is the same Lord incarnated to implement his wrath on himself to save people from the trouble. You see, he never changed. He's never changed. It's the same God back then that he's always been. Jesus is truly the Savior to worship and adore and honor forever for his great sacrifice, love, and grace in this plan to bring his perfection into us. Amen? That's the worship. And so I want us to think about that as we have communion this morning. This is what's going on with you at every single moment. It's Christ in you, Paul says in Colossians, is the hope of glory. There is no other hope of glory. Christ in you is all of your righteousness. You are in life when you're in Christ Jesus. He is the wonderful life. And we will leave this world behind when we're resurrected to a more perfect, wonderful place forever and ever and ever. Actually, our perfection is going to be experienced in a more amazing way. Amen?